Amen. Jesus is coming again. I can't wait. We're going to speak this morning on what's next, and are you ready? I'm sorry, I have a bit of a cold this morning. You know, whenever you public speak with a cold, you're not sure if the nose is going to run, the cough is going to start, whatever. So I'm ready to be embarrassed for the cause today. But anyway, I'm ready. I put a cough drop in, and usually I preach the length of the cough drop. But I just looked, and it said 2 hours cough drop. So you're in trouble this morning. Let's take our Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I appreciate so much Dr. Yeo and Wajong. Every week they take the manuscript and they translate it, Dr. Yeo in Japan and Wajong into Korean, so we can have our messages translated. And that's a lot of work, and I appreciate them faithfully doing that every week. So what's next, and are you ready? You know, everyone's curiosity is piqued when we talk about what's next on God's prophetic calendar. Whenever we hear the question, what's next, we either want to know, like a child at the amusement park looking for the next ride, or we don't want to know, like the student that's being called to the principal's office. But on God's prophetic calendar, there are events that He has planned from the creation of the earth to the end of the ages. This morning, I want to take us through a few of those that involve you and me. Approximately 4,000 years ago, God called a man named Abraham to form a nation called Israel. They would become His chosen people and live in His promised land. After their deliverance from Egypt, they would enter into a covenant with God based upon their obedience to His law. We call this the Old Testament or the Old Agreement. Because of their disobedience to this law, however, and lack of trust of their God, they spent many years under judgment and even in captivity. But God is so rich in mercy, He would send a Messiah to save His people and provide a new covenant, which we call the New Testament. And now, through faith in the sacrifice of this Messiah, Jesus Christ, that all people can have a relationship with God and spend eternity with Him. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection opened up the way of salvation to the Gentile world. That's you and me. And beginning at Pentecost with the coming of the Holy Spirit, the church age, or the age of grace, began. And so what happened, according to Romans chapter 11, because of Israel's refusal to accept the Messiah, the Gentiles that accept Him as Savior would be grafted into the family of God as the children of Abraham. You don't need to turn there, I'm going to put it up, but this is what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I think I'm going to put it up. There it is. Yeah, it's just not there. Okay. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither, I love this truth, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. We are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You are just as much a child of God as Israel is. You are just as much a part of God's family as Israel is. I think that's so, so cool. But what this age or this time period from the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost all the way until the rapture of the church, we're going to talk about that. That's called the age of grace, the church age. That means as the gospel is preached to all people, anyone, for God so loved the world, can come to Jesus as Savior. Hallelujah. It's just not for a specific group of people. But at the end of the church age, Paul described what's going to happen, and he calls it the rapture of the church. And that's what we're going to refer to this morning. You're in your Bibles. This writing is referred, or this truth is referred to several times throughout the New Testament by every one of the authors. The fact, as Carolyn read, Jesus is coming again is something they expected. Look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. In other words, we realize what influence we had. And you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Here it is. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Jesus is coming from heaven. Chapter 2 and verse... Chapter 2 and verse... 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Chapter 3, verse 13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are over 300 times in the Bible that Jesus' coming is referred to. He's coming again. But sometimes there's confusion about the second coming of Christ. And I think the easiest way to explain it is this. There are two phases to the second coming of Christ. The first phase is called the rapture of the church. And so if the context of the scriptures that you are reading, like we just read, regards the church, then his coming is referring to the rapture. This is when he comes for his church, and we will meet him in the air. This is what's discussed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The second phase is approximately 7 years later, at the end of the tribulation period, when he comes back to earth at the Battle of Armageddon to defeat Satan, restore Israel, and set up his millennial kingdom. So if the context of the scriptures you're reading is referring to Israel, then his coming is referring to what we will call today the glorious appearing, or what's often referred to as the second coming. This is described in Revelation chapter 19. At his glorious appearing, he will come with his church. So are you getting it? At the rapture, he comes for his church. That's us. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll be with him. There's going to be a lot of absent people on the earth when that happens. At the second coming of the glorious appearing, he's going to come with the church. We're going to come with him, and he will rule and reign. Let me just give you 10 differences in the two comings. Real quickly, we'll look at these. First of all, we see in the rapture that Christ comes in the air for his own, where in the glorious appearing, I'm just going to call it that. We could call it the second coming. Christ comes with his own to church, or to earth, rather. Secondly, the rapture is for all believers. Secondly, in glorious appearing, no one is raptured. In the rapture, the church is taken to heaven. In the glorious appearing, Christ sets up his kingdom on earth. The rapture is imminent. It could happen at any moment. The glorious appearing cannot occur until at least 7 years of tribulation. Fifthly, there are no signs for the rapture. For the glorious appearing, there are many signs. You see them. Isaiah wrote of signs. Jeremiah wrote of signs. Jesus at the Olivet Discourse wrote of the signs of his physical coming. Number six, the rapture is for believers only, but the second coming affects all humanity. Seven, the rapture happens before the day of wrath. This is recorded in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the glorious appearing immediately after the tribulation. And you see, number eight, there's no mention of Satan at the rapture. He is bound and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years at the return of Christ and the glorious appearing. Number nine, only his eyes will see him at the rapture, and every eye will see him at his glorious appearing. And then finally, the tribulation begins after the rapture, and it ends at his second coming, and the glorious appearing will begin. We're going to look this morning at what happens at the rapture, but I wanted you to see why some of the confusion. They're referring to two totally different comings. So let's take a look at chapter 4. The church at Thessalonica, like all the disciples, they were counting on Jesus' return happening at any moment before their lifetime. He had already told them that he was going to be resurrected and come back in 3 days, and it happened. And so when he said, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again," they were expecting that in a matter of days, maybe months, maybe years, but certainly not as long as the church age has lasted. Thank God for his grace, really. And their fear was that dead believers would not be alive, and therefore they would miss the coming of Christ. And so Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians 4 in response to their concern about the dead believers. So let's take a look at it. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4. "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or already gone, or already past, or dead, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Hallelujah. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." There are four main points to the message this morning. First of all, the hope of the rapture in verses 13 and 14. We will see those who have died in Christ again. Secondly, the order of the rapture in verse 15. The dead in Christ shall rise first. 16, the leader of the rapture. Thirdly, the Lord himself shall descend to meet us in the air. And finally, in verse 17, 18, the promise of the rapture. We will be forever with the Lord. Let's talk about this word rapture. It's a word that we don't use a lot. And you refer it, and you've already read the text, and you say, "Where's that word? I don't see that word." Well, it's a Latin translation of the Greek word that's in the text. When the Latin translated the Vulgate from the original languages, that's where we get the Latin word for harpazo, which is the Greek word. And it means to be caught away or to be snatched up. It's a sudden act of catching something or snatching something, okay? Like you might drop your keys or a coin on the car, and you're going after it real quick while you can see it and get it. That's the point. It's used 13 times in the New Testament. A familiar time is in Acts chapter 8. After Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. That was quick. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says he was caught up to the third heaven. So that's where we get the word rapture. It's just the Latin translation of the Greek word harpazo. Well, let me talk about the four points. First of all, let's talk about the hope of the rapture. You see this in verses 13 and 14, and basically we sorrow different than unbelievers do because we have the hope that those who have died as believers, we will see again. We know where they are. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that absent from the body, you finish it? Present with the Lord. Absent from the body? Present. Oh, very good class. You got it. Yes. So you can only be one of two places. You're either here or you're with Jesus if you know him as Savior. And there's no middle ground. And I remember one time I was visiting a funeral home viewing, and I said to the husband who had lost his wife, I said, "I'm sorry for your loss." And he said something I'd never forgotten. He said, "Pastor Larry, I didn't lose her. I know exactly where she's at." And that is the truth as a believer. You know exactly where those who know Jesus are when they pass away. Amen. We know from this text that Jesus will bring those that have passed with him, and we will meet them in the air. Listen, on the authority of Scripture, we will meet the believers that have already passed again in the air when Jesus returns. Listen, I can't wait. I can't wait to see my mom and dad again. And you have loved ones that have passed before. That's where we're going to meet them. What a hope. What a blessing. Next, we see the order of the rapture. The hope of the rapture, the order of the rapture. In verse 15, the Bible says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before or prevent them which are asleep." Now the fact that Paul says we which are alive and remain tells us that he expected to be alive when Jesus returned. He says this several times when he writes. We're going to look at a passage in 1 Corinthians and he's going to say the same thing. We're going to be alive when Jesus returns. And this tells us and reminds us of the imminency of Jesus Christ. You know that word? It could happen at any time. There are no signs needed for the rapture to occur. I hope you're ready. I hope you're excited about it. Then he says, "The dead in Christ shall rise first and be given their spiritual bodies before those of us that are alive receive our spiritual bodies." Maybe a better word is glorified bodies. Okay, how is this going to happen? Well, let's read about it. This is a great time to take a Bible. There might be one in front of you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How in the world are we going to get the dead people out of the grave with their bodies, with their souls, and all that's going to happen? Well, Paul answered that question to the Corinthian church. Look in verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15, they had the same question. Verse 35, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" Verse 38, "But God gives it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body." Then Paul makes the case that God gives different bodies to different people and different animals all the time. Verse 39, "All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another kind of flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the celestial." They're different. So now what happens to us? Verse 42. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor." Listen, this is our body, dishonor. "This is our next body. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body." That's this one. "It is raised a spiritual body." That's the next one. "There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body." Well, why? Verse 49. "And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood," that's this, "cannot inherit the kingdom of God." Why? It's sin tainted. Ever since you were born, you began to die. You know why? Because your body is tainted by sin. Not only your body, your soul. "There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and short of the glory of God." God, that body, that soul cannot enter the presence of God. That's why our soul needs Jesus, and that's why our body has to be changed. That's a lot. I just came here this morning minding my own business, and now you're going to tell me. I know. And look what he says next. "Behold, I show you a mystery." No kidding. Okay, I'm going to get a new body? What's that going to look like? I don't know. How old's that going to be? I don't know. Is it going to be taller? I don't know. I hope for my sake it's a little thinner. And stronger. And good looking. But anyway, all of those things are the mystery. Behold, this is a great nursery verse. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That should be in the nursery, right? What does that mean? It means not everybody's going to die. There's going to be some people alive at the rapture. But we're all going to be changed from natural body to spiritual body. Are you with me? Let's keep going. When? Quickly. In a moment? In the twinkling of an eye? At the last trump. We read about the trump in 1 Thessalonians 4. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible, that's this one, must put on incorruption, that's the next one, and this mortal must put on immortality. Notice this will happen like that. I can't wait. Number three, the leader of the rapture. Let's take a look back at 1 Thessalonians 4. Once I get my place here. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Jesus Christ himself, Savior, will descend from heaven in the air, just like the angel said in Acts 1:11. Remember when he left the disciples in Acts chapter 1, the angel showed up and said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Caroline read for us, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Man, what a day that will be when Jesus shows up and calls us to himself. And he gives us a new body to go with our eternal soul, a glorified body, and we will be with him forever. What a Savior to do that for us. There will be a shout. It'll be a victory shout. It says in the shout of an archangel. We only know one. It's Michael. It may be a different one. But it's a shout of victory. It's a shout from the winning team at the All-Island Tournament. By the way, our middle school boys, when they won on Friday, they shouted in overtime. It was incredible, right? This is the shout that a guy gives when the girl finally said she would marry him. I know some of you shouted. And the girl shook her head like, what did I just do? It's the shout of victory, man. And then the trump of God will sound. Nobody's sleeping through this. Those in the graves will hear his voice. Christians shall receive glorified bodies. The seed of the dead body becomes the flower of the glorified body. The Christian doctrine of the resurrection assures us that death is not the end. The grave is not the end. The body goes to sleep, but the soul goes to be with the Lord. And when the Lord returns, he will bring the soul with him, raise the body in glory, and he will unite the body and soul into one being to share his glory forever. Hallelujah. And finally, the promise of the rapture. Those believers that are still living will be caught up with Jesus as well. I like what Lester Roloff used to say, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. I'm reminded of one of my favorite old bluegrass. You guys listen to bluegrass songs at all? You know what that is? One of the titles. I love it. They just say it the way it is. If you're not here after what I'm here after, you're going to be left here after I'm gone. Did you get that? It takes a while. Yeah, okay. It always takes a while, bluegrass. You got to stay with it. You know what? This is going to be a glorious meeting. Glorified bodies. No more suffering. No more sickness. No more sin. No more pain. It will be an everlasting meeting We will forever be with the Lord. Listen, death is the great separator, but Jesus Christ is the great reconciler. You know, folks, we're going to close in just a minute. It'd be really good right now to just take a look at your heart, examine your heart to see if you're ready to meet the Lord. Now, if you don't know Jesus, you need to know him so you won't be left behind. One mark of a true believer is his eager looking for the coming of Christ. As we grow in the Lord, we not only look for his appearing, but we love his appearing. Paul said this to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. There is a crown of righteousness prepared for them that love is appearing. God is going to give a crown to the people who are looking and loving his appearing. Because we have this hope, we must keep our lives pure and be ready to witness. Listen, folk, after the rapture, there won't be any witnessing from you. You'll be with Jesus. This is the only time we have to tell people. Once we go to be with them, there's no witnessing for you or for me. Tell people. Let's close. Go to 1 John chapter 2. I love this passage. It's such a wonderful passage filled with a number of things. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have the confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. My, what kind of love would God take this wicked sinner and call him a son? But he did throw through the blood of Christ. What love. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. John had the same problem we have. I don't know what our glorified body's going to be like. He says it. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. In other words, we will have a glorified body too. That's how Jesus is. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You know, the rapture, the imminency of the rapture, it should stir us to live holy lives, to not be ashamed at his coming, to be prepared, and to tell as many people as we can. Death is a fact of life. It's not an accident, it's appointment. Hebrews says, it is appointed a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Let me ask you just quickly, if you were to die today, where would your soul spend eternity? We Christians have a wonderful assurance and hope because of the resurrection of Jesus and his promised return. Do you have that hope today? If Jesus came today, would you meet him in the air or would you be left behind? And those of you that know Jesus, if Jesus came today, is there someone that you would have wished you would have given the gospel to? He could come today. It's the fact. It's true. It's imminent. Let's make sure we're busy about the Lord's work so he finds us faithful when he comes doing what he's asked us to do. Are you ready? Let's pray this morning. Father, what a wonderful truth that you're coming again for your children. But Lord, as you've left us here for this time, I pray that we would be busy about your work. God, thank you for that one that shared Jesus with us so we could be saved during this wonderful age of grace. And Lord, while grace is available, help us to be faithful to give the gospel to others. And Lord, I pray if there's one here that doesn't know Jesus and not sure where he'd spend eternity and not sure if he would meet you in the air, that today they would make that decision for Jesus. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.